Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Amazingly enough, in 3 days, it will have been 1 month since the New England Patriots finished up the 2024 regular season with that win that everybody completely celebrated at Gillette to end the season. And then the complete turnover of the franchise began again in the moments after that. Almost been a month. A lot has transpired since then. But one thing that hasn't transpired is anything from the Patriots' now sophomore quarterback, Drake May. He made the Pro Bowl as a replacement for Josh Allen. And he spoke to the media, spoke to SiriusXM, and shared his thoughts on a number of different topics over about a five-minute interview. We'll get into those quotes in just a moment. In the meantime, you can join the conversation at 617-779-7937. John is in the car. He's been waiting on the line to talk about the Luka trade. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Hey, what's up? You know, I heard somebody texted in earlier and said, one name, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, yeah.
And that guy, I know you were thinking about, like, you discussed the Mavs potentially adding Jimmy Butler, but I think, you know, in context with this Luka trade and trying to make some sense of it, it's fairly interesting. You have on one end Jimmy Butler saga in Miami, like they hate each other. He can't find a way out. Everything's public, and like it's going to be probably not the greatest deal to get Jimmy Butler out of there. And he's old, and who knows whether he's worth it.
Right.
And the flip side, you have like in the heat of the night or the dark of the night, Luka gets traded to or offered to one team, and they don't really like shop around and get the best deal. Meanwhile, we watched him in Boston. Like, we know exactly what happened. He is a great offensive player. He is generational, but he's one way. He's one way. And I can completely understand a new ownership maybe doesn't want to give 300 mil plus right off the bat to a 25-year-old kid who's out of shape, has a calf strain, which is like the NBA, like, uh-oh, and you're out of shape. Like, what, like that's the uh-oh thing, right?
Yeah.
And we live with that with KP. So, on paper, this is definitely a terrible deal for Dallas. But, like, you don't have to pay him the Supermax now, and I don't know if that gives you any flexibility with AD, because that's like you need a capologist to kind of figure that stuff out. But it's crazy the layers that go along with this.
Yeah, no question, John. Thank you for the call. Oh boy, sorry about that. We're Jacob and I learning the soundboard as we go. No, but John makes an interesting point that I saw floating around, and I didn't get a chance to mention this in the opening hour. And again, if you missed it in whatever rock you've been hiding under this morning, Luka Doncic traded for Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers. There are other elements, Utah for some reason involved to either take money or draft picks or just kind of wedge themselves into the conversation for a PR win. But the one extra element out of all of this is that Luka is now ineligible for the Supermax deal, which comes in conjunction with being traded in that way. So it's kind of an extra little bleep you out the door from the Mavericks, is it not? I mean, now there's tens of millions of dollars that are left on the table with the fact that if he stayed in Dallas, you would have had to pay him that money or lose him for nothing. And now that he's not, he's not eligible for that anymore, and it does change the financial landscape for what you can and cannot pay that player. So it's an interesting kind of just thanks but no thanks, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out kind of thing. Other musings coming out in the wake of this trade. The Mavericks originally offered Luka Doncic in a trade for Anthony Davis a few days ago. This is per Shams and Evan Sittery, I believe is how you say it, is the one who posted this. The Lakers met internally over the last 48 hours to decide they would indeed deal Davis. Dallas wanted out on Doncic. Unbelievable. Unbelievable indeed. And the fact that this got floated a couple days ago, by the way, credit to both sides. If this got floated a couple days ago and there wasn't squat that came out about this, in those 48 hours that came out, that's impressive. And John called to mind one other element, and then we can get back to the football conversation. If you have any other thoughts on the Luka deal, by the way, 617-779-7937. How bad of a fleecing was it? Do you remember a trade that was worse? I've seen Red Sox fans going, finally, we don't have to be attached to the worst trade of the century in the Mookie Betts deal now that that deal has been done, which makes me laugh in a sick, sadistic kind of way as a Red Sox fan going through it right now. John brought up the point of Jimmy Butler wanting out in Miami, it being extremely public, extremely volatile, extremely toxic, and nothing happened. And, you know, the team suspends him multiple times, and it just becomes a soap opera of epic proportions in the public. And surprise, surprise, all of a sudden now that, you know, the player is toxic, no deal has been done, it doesn't really seem like you're getting anywhere close to a deal. And this time around, didn't really seem, at least as far as we know, that the player had any desire. And that was the reporting that we've seen. And we played a clip coming into one of our earlier segments talking about how LeBron didn't know about it, Anthony Davis didn't know about it, and Luka didn't know about it and was caught off guard by this kind of move. So it wasn't a player wanting out and becoming public and going to the public and using the agent to go to the public, using their reporting connections and going public with a trade request. This was all the team. And it has to go pretty far up, you'd imagine. I think it's higher than coaching, though I'm sure coaching may have voiced their opinion to whoever the next up on the ladder, general manager, president of basketball operations, what have you. This seems to go all the way to the top. There are financial implications, which suggests to me this has to go all the way up to ownership. This is coaching to ownership. Because the ownership willingly said, we're going to pay more to Anthony Davis for multiple years than we were currently paying to Luka in order to get this deal done. And we are so desperate to get this done, we're not going to shop him. We're not going to go with the best offer. We're not going to even try to get to the Marcus Smart level of trade return, a couple of firsts and Kristaps Porzingis in various different ways. No. We're going to do this. We're going to mask it as we got better defensively, and we're just going to get out from under this player. It is increasingly bizarre, but they kept it quiet, which is impressive for a deal this magnitude. And when you compare it to the Jimmy Butler situation, it's kind of fascinating. But boy, boy, oh boy, oh boy. This one continues to get more confusing, and it's a good point by John. Thank you for the call. You can chime in on the phone and on the text line, 617-779-7937. Okay, Jacob, I want to go through some of the audio from Drake May this week, and I want to start with May on his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, because he spoke about Mike Vrabel, but it was very, very base level. Hey, we spoke. I'm excited. I like the direction that he's going to bring, and I think that there are great things to come in New England. It was a much shorter answer on Mike Vrabel than it was on McDaniels, who he went a little bit more in depth on. So here's what Drake May said to SiriusXM earlier this week during the course of the Pro Bowl games about his new offensive coordinator.
Coach McDaniels, obviously the what he's done there and the success he's had. Fortunate to be able to have a guy come in who's done it at a high level and learn from him coaching one of the best ever and the best ever, in my opinion, Tom. So got a great chance to go back and all those years of film you have in the little database is all, it's all their play calls and all Coach McDaniel's stuff and what he did with Tom. So it's fortunate for me to go back and study it up and get ready for this next season.
So That's more than just ancillary, hey, we talked on the phone, I like his vibe, I like his energy, I think that good things are coming. That's checking a couple of boxes that will probably ring in Patriots fans' ears for a while. That's talking about the GOAT, which will always bring you some brownie points, but that's also a knowledge already for Drake May of what Josh McDaniels has been able to do at the quarterback position with offenses in New England in past years. That's a knowledge of the history there, and that's at least from tone of voice. And again, we're all just judging this by audio and not necessarily watching the video. By tone of voice, that's an excitement to dive deep and learn and really get into the nitty-gritty and understand the way Josh McDaniels goes about constructing an offense in New England and just with any NFL team that he's been a part of. And that brings me some peace of mind hearing the way that Drake answered that question and hearing the excitement in his voice about getting the chance to work with Josh and understanding the level of success that's come with him as offensive coordinator in New England. Because, you know, there are levels, there are intricacies, there is language barriers, there are a bunch of things that come with a Josh McDaniels offense that I would have to assume may not have come with an Alex Van Pelt offense and certainly did not come in a collegiate offense. McDaniels is extremely detail-oriented. There are many different variations. He's clearly a student of the game. He is a one-off in terms of the intensity and the level of preparation that is required of players and specifically of quarterbacks and just straight up the intelligence that's required of players in his system in order to be successful. There was no trepidation in that answer. There was no, we'll see how it goes. There was no kind of toeing the line, sitting the fence, whatever you want to use. That was, I understand that this offense was paired with Tom Brady and his GOAT status is attached to a Josh McDaniels run offense for a big portion of his career in New England. Not to say that the McDaniels-led offense made him the GOAT. He was well on his way by the time McDaniels took over as play caller. But the two certainly worked hand-in-hand, side-by-side, in order to make the Patriots' offense nuanced and evolving and ever-changing and always keeping defenses on their toes. And his response to that question was, I recognize that history, and I want to go back and learn. I want to watch. I want to hear. I want to read. I want to be a student of the game under this guy so that the results that Patriots fans saw with their GOAT quarterback for 15 years plus are emulated, I can try to emulate or I can try to live up to now that I am the quarterback of the New England Patriots. There was no sense of wavering in that voice. The fact that May, in his first media availability, his first comments to the media since the season, were that positive about the OC and that understanding, positivity you're going to get. You can get we got the positivity bluster when he was asked about Vrabel. We got the positivity bluster when he talked about learning from Jacoby Brissett, whatever. The understanding of, I know I'm going to have to learn, and I'm excited about the process, about the painstaking high level of intelligence that it's going to take me to understand what's made him successful in the past and understand what will make us successful in the future, that's a great sign. That's a sign of a guy who, this year, before the season was even over, started to use the word worry. And I'm going to butcher the quote, but I'll try to paraphrase it as best I can. Him talking about after 2 to 3 years of not having success, you start to get worried. That was kind of the loose quote that he used to talk about, hey, we really need to turn this thing around. Because in 2 to 3 years, if we're not winning, that's when the worry starts to set in. That was in half one of year one as the Patriots quarterback, you were already starting to hear those kind of like, ooh, that's not 100% in on what's going on right now kind of comments. And now he's excited about the process under the coach. So if there was any trepidation of how will McDaniels and May work together, obviously we won't know that answer. We're months, if not years away from knowing how these two will actually work. Can May keep up intellectually? Can he keep up physically? Will McDaniels be able to evolve his play calling to include more designed runs and include more pre-snap motion? And can May handle that? And do the Patriots have the personnel to handle that kind of intricate play calling? All these questions are nowhere near answered, and we probably won't even have a clear answer by the end of 2025. But your quarterback's ready to do the work. And that is certainly, at least as we sit here in February and we search and we scratch and we claw for reasons to be positive about this team. The quarterback was a positive last year, and the quarterback's excitement about the direction of the coaching staff certainly seems to be a positive in the very early going here in 2025. We'll continue the Patriots conversation. I see your calls lining up. We'll take those at 617-779-7937. Your expectations, Drake May and Josh McDaniels as a duo. Obviously, the McDaniels-Brady duo is one that will not be topped, will not be met. I understand that. But looking at it more in a short-term view in 2025, what is success for those two? And what is success for May in his second season? Curious to hear your thoughts. You can call, you can text, you can let us know. We'll talk Patriots on the other side of this. But first, here's Jacob Lasner with...
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
what's trending. Back here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, Drake May. Leadership, situational football, things that come with maturation were his answers when answering questions at the Pro Bowl about what he wants to work on for 2025. A text from our good friend Matt in Rhode Island. Ball, I hear you on May and McDaniels. Thank you for hearing me. But Josh McDaniels has to simplify route trees and quarterback reads to go around to be or this go around to be successful, I should say. And you're right about that. And I think there you have to strike a balance between coach and quarterback in this situation. And I trust that McDaniels is capable of doing that to a certain extent, but Drake May is going to have to meet him halfway. And that's why I wanted to play that clip. I fully understand the intricacies that come with the Josh McDaniels offense. And he had a quarterback that could handle it. And he also had a quarterback that had half a decade's worth of experience under his belt by the time he took over as the play caller. So it's certainly, it's a different situation because you're getting a quarterback who's only a second year player and he's coming off, you know, and you have 1 year's worth of offensive coordinator communication, language, understanding that you're just trying to basically flush and rewrite now in his second year. And you're also dealing with a roster that is nowhere near where it was when McDaniels took over with Brady in the 2000s. So it's a completely different set of circumstances. But I played that clip specifically for May because he fully acknowledged, like, hey, I'm gonna have to go back through the archives and be ready to learn and know what I should expect when I come in for OTAs and training camp and all the kind of things as those two try to find a dynamic that works. So it's not even that May has to meet McDaniels 50-50. I think if you want it to be the best marriage possible, that's what happens. I honestly think that Josh McDaniels can only dumb it down, for lack of a better term, to a certain extent. And May is probably going to have to do 60% of the work. Meet him 60-40, 70-30 even. Be ready to take that extra step, intellectually speaking, as the quarterback of the Patriots to be able to handle what comes his way. Let's go to the phones. Will is in the car on the Patriots quarterback. Good afternoon, Will. How are you?
I'm well, Dan. Great show.
Thank you,
Will. I've enjoyed you and Jacob. I'm not a huge hockey fan, but you do a nice job of explaining it. And, you know, you actually had me listening. So good for you.
Appreciate that.
So I like the last two clips of Drake May because, I love to hear. Here's what I think. And certainly we all know you're replacing a GOAT, and that's impossible.
Right.
However, there isn't a better person, for me at least, there isn't a better person on the planet prepared to replace the GOAT than Drake May, only because you have the keys to the archives. You know what it took. Tom Brady was quite transparent in how hard he worked. The recipe is there. You know how to do it. Now, the ingredients may be slightly different.
Right.
But
worse.
There is a clear understanding that you have to be the first person to work and the last one to leave. You have to be throwing on your own on Friday nights at 8 p.m. You have to, you know, you have to look at your nutrition. You truly have to make sacrifices, you know. So,
yeah.
And then we don't know. We have no sense exactly how much did Josh McDaniels also make Tom Brady. So I think that's wonderful for him.
You know, because when
Josh really needs to light a fire under Drake, I would be dropping Tom's name left and right, you know, and we'll see what kind of person you are, Drake. Now, my one, and this isn't so much with you, but you did mention it.
Okay.
Certainly talent on your show before you mentioned it. It was a bit of a... There was a bit of an outrage that this is the first we've heard from Drake, and I don't understand. I have no interest in hearing from Drake. I don't need to hear. If I want to hear something from Drake, I want to see a picture that he's in the gym. I want to see, you know, what his diet looks like. I don't need to hear his take, and here's why. And he's smart. The Patriots are smart not to have let him get in front of the media, because no offense to that, you know, we don't need to use names, Arkan, but the second that clip came out, Arkan, you went for the negative. He vivisected it so he could find a negative and a potential shot at Mayo, and that was his narrative rest of show. Well, what is it? Why would Drake put himself through that? If we know, hey, you guys have a tough job, right? You're trying to take the same old news and put a fresh spin on it every day. Well, actually, you got that nugget today from Dallas.
That was helpful, yeah.
Yes, they feel there.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what's the win in Drake being on media, knowing that guys like Christian Arcan all over the country are going to try to find negative and put a spin that makes it, you know, click worthy?
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. I had to let him go at a certain point, and hopefully that doesn't fuel the Dan Ball as the next Christian Arcan take by letting him go. But love Christian, by the way, and that's not just specific to him. I've heard that, and he alluded to this. I've heard that the dissection of this is what he's saying about Gerard Mayo versus, you know, what reading between the lines on this is what he's saying about the Mayo situation, and I'm not in the camp that there was malintent, but I think it's more of a quiet understanding of, listen, this sucked. I as a rookie was in a locker room where the coach was trying to be best friends with the players, and it was the inmates running the asylum, and there was no accountability, and you could say whatever you wanted, and you could do what you wanted, and we would lose, but the coach wasn't frontward facing and disciplining us. He was playing cards with us on the plane. All these confirmed reports that have come out after the season, if there was an unsaid, not to be malicious, but still to acknowledge what I'm coming from, meaning in comments from Drake May, no, I would not be surprised. And no, I don't really care. It's not, if he wanted to take a shot at Gerard Mayo, he would have said his name, or he would have said something when talking about Vrabel and McDaniels of, well, these guys certainly have their, you know what, together, unlike some people. Like, you could have been more brazen about the fact that you were calling out your former coach. I didn't perceive it as there was a direct shot against the head coach in the comments that you're talking about. But I think it was more of an understanding of, I have 1 year in the league. I only have one set of circumstances that I've been around and I've been in and I've been a part of. And those circumstances sucked. They stunk. And because I only have that one sample size as a professional of the Mayo and company coaching staff, the early signs that I'm getting from this new staff with Vrabel and McDaniels are a lot different, are much more, I don't know, professional comes off as a shot, so I won't use it, but buttoned up. Let's say buttoned up. There's a certain intensity that comes with speaking with these guys that doesn't match what I had as a rookie. So I think it could be a bit more nuanced than I'm going after the head coach. I think there's certainly an acknowledgement that what the head coach presided over wasn't great, but I think it's more of a circumstances as an organization that I was a part of as a rookie versus what I'm perceiving from Mike Vrabel, from Josh McDaniels, from the new staff that has been brought in, if that makes sense. So I think there's arguments or there's elements of, like, yes, it's not a good commentary on the coach. It's not a direct shot at the coach. It's more of a, hey, I didn't love what was happening around me just from a culture perspective, accountability perspective, and I'm already starting to see differences. All of that is good. And we had Drake on the afternoon show every single week during the season. I got here in mid-November, so they were already fully entrenched with each other by the time that I got here. He's never going to be the guy knowingly to say something about Gerard Mayo in that way. And I think if there was something that was implied in whatever he said about the coach, I don't think it was done out of malice. I think it was just done out of fact. And perceive it how you will. If you wanna write in between the lines and what you think was gonna be said, more power to you. More power to you. But May acknowledged as part of those comments, which we heard coming out of break. And by the way, if you have a thought on that, 617-779-7937 on Drake May, the coaching staff, and where the Patriots stand right now. Situational football and leadership. Again, music to our ears. And there are a couple elements to situational football. Offensive coordinating ability and nuanced play calling and ability to just get guys into open space and short yardage situations. That comes with coaching. You've solved that, or at least you've solved maybe too definitive, but you've improved in that area. maturity, experience, knowledge of the game, knowing what didn't work for you. Super, super, super underrated, but super valuable, as May now has a most of a season under his belt. Most of a bad season. Most of a season that was not filled with conversions and moving the football and positive gains and, you know, those kind of things. Scoring points. A nearly a full season's worth as a starting quarterback on an offense that did not move efficiently. Knowing what did not work. Recognizing in split seconds worth of time, I did not have success doing X. Josh has put me in a position to do Y. I will do Y, but I know I can also default to Z. And many times Z in that algebra equation of picking up a third down, a fourth down, red zone, goal line, those kind of situational type, the 2-minute drill, all those kind of things. It's got to be instinct, and I think that you need to empower your quarterback to have the instinct to run. And I know that this is a pie in the sky comparison, but there are a lot of similarities between how Josh Allen operates and how I think the Patriots could position Drake May to operate. I'm not saying those two are the same thing. What I'm saying is there are intangibles and tangible skill set details with those two quarterbacks that match. And I mean, you'd be salivating if May could become Josh Allen, championships notwithstanding. From a execution off explosive offensive potential. So if you're building out the play calling to where it's more nuanced and it takes the pressure off the quarterback and gives him options, that's great. But if you're also empowering the quarterback to run when he sees fit and just use his physicality to his advantage, which was not used enough and used very sparingly and bizarrely this year, it wasn't even really used at all until all of a sudden the media started to claim, hey, why don't they ever run the ball? Or why don't they ever have design runs for this guy? All of a sudden, I think it was in that Buffalo game, all of a sudden, wait, Drake's running the football. Like, and he was told to, and he's doing it. That was option A, and he's doing it. Look at that. So, consistency in the play calling, empowering your quarterback to embrace his athleticism and do, for lack of a better term, do what he does best. I think that's huge. All of that will come with situational football. Now, the element that comes in the conversation about the offense, the defense, the special teams, situational football, winning, losing, tying, is roster. And that is still the greatest unknown. All we can do as fans right now is look at what is there in front of us. And coaching, a win this offseason. If you wanted Ben Johnson, if you wanted Nick Caley, however you wanted to go. If you wanted them to be more patient, take a crack at Liam Cohen, Bobby Slowick, or whomever ended up kind of shaking loose as part of the coaching changes this offseason, fine. But you certainly have more stability, more experience, more adults in the room. There was a quote from Phil Perry that I loved either a week or two ago where he said the coaching staff is ready-made. And that's true. That's a win. Your coaching staff then should positively impact your quarterback. Your quarterback seems to understand what he needs to do this offseason in order to be more successful in his second year than he was in his first year. He understands what he needs to work on, situational football, leadership, blah, blah, blah. And he also understands what he needs to do within the context of now having Josh McDaniels as his offensive coordinator. That's a win. But that's all we have. We have the coaching staff, which has more adults in the room, and you have a quarterback that understands what's going on. Other than that, you have $120-something million in cap space, draft picks, roster flexibility, and a hell of a lot of work to do. So, can Drake May be better in situational football? He seems to he has the context, he has the experience, he has the coaching. Doesn't have the players, though. So, while you're able to give the Patriots a passing grade to this point in the offseason, and I think that I think you're being overly negative if you don't do that. Given where you're coming from to where you are now, I think that they've done all the right things, or the majority of the right things. I'll stick with majority of the right things. I'm still wary about the front office, and that's why you can't say, oh, it's been a successful offseason no matter what. I don't know that yet. There's no reason that half your roster should be back. And Mike Giardi on the afternoon show on Friday alluded to as much. And actually, Jacob, if you could pull that up, that's in our weekend's folder as well. I want to play that before we hit a break, what Giardi had to say about where the roster could potentially go. This was within the context of Mike Vrabel, how much power he has or does not have in the front office. And it was it put into the air some energy about the roster that maybe we hadn't necessarily heard before.
I think that's one of the things that I sort of came away with is his overall control level and also the feeling, a strong feeling, a belief, if you will, that the roster is going to look a lot different than some of the guys that were quote unquote core pieces, probably not going to be core pieces, maybe as soon as whatever this trading season, this off season. So I think that's going to be fascinating.
So, I mean, it calls to mind any number of names, and it particularly for me called to mind the names that were the loudest at the end of the offseason, guys who seemed to get the most restless. I know Jelani Tavai went viral on this station for what he said about Patriots fans. You know, fill in the blank with whichever quote-unquote familiar faces that you want for how drastic the roster turnover could be. I know one thing and one thing only. When we ask Patriots fans, who are you excited about? Who do you want the team to build around? Who do you think is a core piece? You could get into the weeds on some players. Two players get named. Drake May, Christian Gonzalez. Boom. Done. Awesome. Answered the question. Okay, who else? Well, you could blah and you could blah and you could blah. Then you have to try to justify everybody that you say other than that. So that's also a check mark in the positive column of where this team is going this offseason, that there is an acknowledgement that this roster is not good enough. And the guys that are paid heavily to be your anchors at certain positions across the field aren't playing good enough, aren't working hard enough, aren't being good enough leaders, aren't guys that we can actually build around. It was more just halfway decent players on a bad team versus good players on a team that wants to be good. Shining amongst the crap is what some of these guys were doing, and they were compensated for it. So all of this and this acknowledgement that the roster is nowhere near good enough and severely lacking talent suggests, all right, this offseason is only getting started. And there is a lot more churn to come on top of the coaching staff churn and on top of the quiet acknowledgement by the quarterback of, all right, I was good, but I have a lot more to do in order to get even better. All of this under the umbrella of, will the Kraft family actually be willing to spend the $100+ million they have to spend? And history does not shine positively on Patriots fans in that regard. But there's a way to get yourself competitive quickly. The Jets are a disaster. The Dolphins seem to have a ceiling as to how high they can fly, how far they can get in the playoffs. Bills, how many more times can you be the bridesmaid and not the bride before you have to consider more drastic changes in one way, shape, or form? They still have a lot of dead money that they're dealing with on their salary cap. They're not going to get leaps and bounds better than they were. To me, there's a path at least to be better than the Jets. Depending on how aggressive you get, maybe you could sniff where the Dolphins are going to be next season. But you have to be aggressive and you have to do it right. You can't make mistakes. Coming off of multiple offseasons where you've done it wrong, made multiple mistakes, and also not spent all the money that you've had as it's freed up after the dead money glut that you had coming off of the end of the dynasty. So a lot of work to be done, but small reasons to smile in the month of February as good teams play football. The Patriots have not. It's almost been a month since they played their last down. But you hear from the quarterback and everything that he had to say, and he's saying the right things. And this time around, you also should have the coaching staff and the infrastructure in place around him to actually back up what he's saying and make it a bit more factual. 617-779-7937. We'll take your Patriots calls on the other side. And also, a thought on the Red Sox from the Boston Globe. Wish I could say it was as bright and shiny as the Drake May conversation, but we'll get to all that next. Don't forget, KJ and Lyons coming your way beginning at 2 o'clock. They'll take you 2 to 6, so you can load up the lines for them. More on the other side here on WEEI. All right, just a couple of minutes. We'll hand it over to KJ and Lyons. They have you the traditional PM drive slot, 2 to 6. KJ Carson, John Lyons, always great to listen to them. Plenty to talk about with the Luka Doncic trade. Plenty of Patriots headlines or just musings, hypotheticals that you can get into. Celtics on this evening. Bruins were victorious yesterday. So make sure you load up the lines for them after me at 617-779-7937 before all of that. David is in the car. Good afternoon, David.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the call, Dan.
Yes, sir.
So you made a comment about the Patriots being maybe until next year before they're in line with everything they need to be. I actually think it's going to be this year, and I'll tell you why in my opinion.
Okay.
Is you have what I wanted from day one. I like Gerard Mayo, don't get me wrong. I never wanted him because the reason I didn't want him because he didn't have any experience as a full blown out defensive coordinator
sure.
to become a head coach. I think it was a promise Mr. Kraft made. He fulfilled his promise and he gave it a shot. And I think all it did, you know, as Patriots fans, Patriots Nation, it puts us a year behind schedule. That's all it did.
Right.
If you had the guys that you have now, which is Vrabel and Josh, these are guys that have proven themselves. You look at the experience that Mike Vrabel has. We know what he can do. We know he can come in here and make these guys work.
Right.
Same thing goes for Josh McDaniels. I know as a head coach, he hasn't been great. That's because he's a true offensive coordinator. We look at what he did with Brady. We look what he did when Brady got hurt in 2008 with Castle. We look at what he did with Mac Jones rookie year. Mac Jones had all kinds of records. Mac Jones was really good his rookie year. Unfortunately, what happened after, I think that's a whole different story. I'm not going to even go into
it. Yeah, sure.
So I think, in my opinion, it's nice to see that Drake can run around. He can run if he needs to. But I prefer that, and I think this is what McDaniels is going to do, is really make him to understand how to play the pocket, how to read the field, how to read the defense, how to read the plays ahead of him
right.
before he starts running around. And for that, I do believe that Josh McDaniels will be the best thing for Drake May. And I think by this midway into 2025 season, we're going to see a team that we never thought we would see. I really do.
Wow. Okay, David, thank you for the call. That is quite optimistic. And though I agree with every point and stated in certain forms what he said about the positivity about the coaching staff, the positivity about the quarterback, that's where the sentence ends right now. And there are plenty of steps that need to be taken roster-wise for essentially the rest of the roster before I can turn around and say, all right, 2025 is the year. Yes, I mentioned a few moments ago, yes, I think that there is a path forward that you can be competitive in your division at least for a second place, if not if at very least a third place over the Jets, because, wow. But that is implied. That implies that you have to have an aggressive and successful and efficient offseason player-wise, roster construction-wise, and that hasn't happened yet. So if it does, then, oh, fantastic. You've leaps and bounds improved where you were a season ago. You have already improved, but I can't say leaps and bounds at this current point. Want to throw in a quick Red Sox note from Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Agents around the league believe Alex Cora and Sam Kennedy want a middle-of-the-order bat, but Craig Breslow, John Henry, and Tom Werner are cautious. The Red Sox have only been willing to offer short-term deals to free agent hitters. So, once again, a report confirms that there is a disconnect. Thank you. Yes, more of that. As much as humanly possible. That's how I've been feeling and will continue to feel about that, because you're scared. You're scared based on Trevor Story, 6 years, been a disaster of a contract. You're scared about Masataka Yoshida because you played him sparingly in left field. He was average to slightly below average, and despite the fact that you did that with Manny as an average to below average fielder more than he was not, with Hanley Ramirez, you've put a million and one different average to below average fielders in left field. God forbid we do it with Masa, even though he was a very productive hitter for most of last season. There is a fright of committing to players and getting it wrong right now. And investing any kind of dollar that isn't researched, that isn't polished, that hasn't been run through every single computer in the building, there's a fear of doing it one more time and messing up. And you're not going to bring in, you're not going to bring in players that fans care about if you're only offering 1 and 2 year deals. It's just a fact. If you're offering Alex Bregman a 3 year deal, that's a slap in the face. Do I want Alex Bregman on a 6 year deal as a Red Sox fan? No, I really don't. But there are certainly ways to be more nuanced about the way you structure a contract with opt-outs, with bonuses, with there are a million and one different ways that you can structure a Shohei Ohtani's making $700 million. He's seeing like 10 bucks of that during the course of the time he actually plays for the Dodgers, because the Dodgers had a forward-thinking front office and general manager that were able to find a way to make it work for both sides. There are ways to skin this cat that don't involve just 6 years, $175 million, shut up and take the deal and shake your hands. But nobody actually wants to be that aggressive and do that. So had to get a quick Red Sox thought in there, because as much as I'm excited, truck day's right around the corner, pitchers and catchers reporting in a couple of weeks. Every single report I read makes me more upset about the fact that I'm going to go to Fenway a bunch in my first summer as a Boston resident, and I'm just going to have to suck it up and take it. But we are running out of time here on this afternoon. Don't forget, KJ and Lyons coming your way beginning at 2 o'clock up until 6. Jacob, do we have KJ Carson on the line right now?
Yeah, he's here. I wonder if he wants to say hi.
KJ, you there?
Yeah. Merry New Year, Dan.
Hey, Merry New Year to you. How you doing, my good friend?
Good. You might catch me maybe twice this quarter, so it's I might well just say hello and catch up with you. And the Luka Doncic situation is just absolutely insane. I don't think that whole story is over.
Yeah.
Is LeBron going to be a Laker by the end of this week? I think we'll get into that. Plus, you mentioned, I don't know, well, Dan, you're just new here, but last year one person showed up to truck day.
Ah.
And Jackson caught him. I wonder if the over-under this year of the amount of people at truck day is 1.5.
I like that.
Because that's clearly plus money. So, man, have a great Sunday. Enjoy yourself. And probably talk to you sometime in April.
Hey, that sounds like a plan. Yeah, when it's a lot sunnier outside, I'll plan our quarterly meetup for that.
Keep the
phones lit up for KJ and Lyons. They'll be with you 2 to 6 here on this Sunday afternoon. Plenty of basketball, plenty of football, plus your calls. In the meantime, you have a great rest of your Sunday out there, folks. You've been listening to WEEI. Keep it locked. KJ and Lyons up next.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few: Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes, 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue, and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.